Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we enter into your presence today. And Father, as I share with your wonderful people, Father, I pray that you anoint me from on high to receive what I've received from you to give to your people, and may they take it and run with it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, I thinking on Memorial Day and all the military people that have given their lives for our freedom, I think of all the apostles that have gone on before us that gave their lives for the preaching of the gospel. You know, a lot of times we don't think about those who have been soldiers of the cross. Just as we have the natural side of life where the militaries protect and cover us for our freedom on this side of the cross, you know. Also, there were many soldiers of the Lord back in the Roman government time that literally walked upon hours and upon hours to spread the gospel and faced many things, many dangers, because they wanted to introduce a kingdom that had never been before manifested. And we have the privilege, as what we call ourselves believers, we have the privilege of that kingdom today. What a wonderful privilege. But you know, I think back just in the natural how many people, even today, disrespect our freedom through the lives of these military people. Well, we have the same thing in churches where people disrespect the lives that were given for the sake of the gospel that we have the freedom to hold in our laps right now. Every one of you have no idea what a wonderful thing it is to have the entire life of these men who gave themselves for this gospel and how important it is, and that they have not died in vain. Just like our military, you know, a lot of times when you see certain shows and you see people give their lives for the United States in the natural, you know, how many of you ever thought, you know, to live and then to die for someone else's freedom? You know, that's really an honor when you realize that people have given their lives so that you and I can sit here and freely display the understanding of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. What a wonderful privilege it is, and we are partakers of it. Amen. Just sitting and listening to John, how he's got to go to China, you know, and how difficult it is to preach there because your life is in danger, you know, of the government structure there. But how many of you guys really noticed lately, and, you know, looking at the news and everything, how many of you know that these other nations are now wanting the freedom that we have? They're getting tired of dictatorship. Because all over the world there is unrest, especially in these foreign countries, because they just simply are fed up with being lorded over and made dictators of. And so you're seeing a lot of these countries and these nations coming at war within themselves because people want to be free. Amen? They want freedom. And it's amazing how they'll do anything for it. You know, before the gospel was even really printed and brought into life, men still wanted freedom. And so they lived out of the integrity of their heart for freedom. And thank God today we have the greatest opportunity that we've ever had since the beginning of time. And that is the regeneration of our time period. To be new creatures in Christ Jesus so that there's a freedom that the world doesn't really understand and know. And that is the freedom to live forever and not limit my life to that which is corruptible or temporal. So not only has the gospel then presented a whole new aspect to our life called living life more abundantly, but also the promise of eternal life. You think about that. That is incredible. Incredible. And yet you see people abuse that wonderful privilege. They've come into the kingdom of God. They've received the fullness of the kingdom. And then you see them choose to live in the lowest aspect of their of the kingdom of God that you can possibly live. It just does my heart. It just crushes me when I know that I have so great of a salvation that if it's that great, I will not neglect it in any form or fashion. That when I need to pull upon my salvation, it will not have drifted by me slowly, but it's there for me when I need it. Amen. And so living the way we're living today is a wonderful time period, not only for the church, but also for mankind. Because God poured His wrath out on His Son that there would be nothing between God and man ever again. That's why Job cried out, who's going to be the perfect umpire who can put one hand on man and one hand on God and bring the two impossibilities together? Well, Jesus did it. Amen. He did it. Hallelujah. And provided for us a dispensation, a generation called grace. Called grace. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege. We were talking about grace and how important it is to understand about the situation that grace has offered us. What a wonderful privilege it is. But in order to understand grace, we must understand that grace has a multi-dimension to it. It has many aspects to it. And the only way that you can really understand the dispensation of grace that we live in is a grace that has basically five aspects to it. What we call a saving grace. This is what has made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. It has what we covered already, a sanctifying grace, a grace that purifies us and enables us to live a holy life. We have what we call a sharing grace. Every favor and earthly blessing come to us through that. A sharing grace. And God is able, according to 2 Corinthians 9:8 out of the Amplified, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to us in abundance so that we may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Then we have a serving grace. As good stewards, we may serve the kingdom of God and keeps us from being unproductive in the work that God has for us. We have a ministry gifts of grace, grace differing according to the grace, Romans 12. And how grace comes, Dwight L. Moody said, God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. We don't want to forget that, but grace came through Jesus Christ. Grace might reign through righteousness. Grace reigns through righteousness. Grace does not reign through sin. It reigns through righteousness. Also, grace is never a permission to do wrong. Never a permission to do wrong. And if you will, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in chapter 12, let's go to verse 7. 12:7. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 12:7. It was in 1 Corinthians. And in 12:7 he says, at least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength. My strength. My strength is made. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And this one puzzled me for a long time. But many translators and interpreters of some of the commentaries, matter of fact, they have a Bible out today, and actually says in the Bible that Paul was given a thorn by God to keep him humble so that he would not be lifted up in pride in his heart. Matter of fact, some of you might have this one Bible that came out, it's very popular right now, said that. And when I found that in the Bible, interpreted that way, totally contrary to what is in the Greek passage, I threw it away. If you have that much of an error in your translation, then there's not much to the translation itself. But I'm going to tell you that's not what this was actually saying. This is another aspect of grace that Paul was not aware of. Many of you don't realize that when Paul was literally stoned and drug out of a city and left to dead, he actually died. Many of them don't realize that that was Paul's first missionary journey. Paul went out on his first journey and he was put to the test. Did you know that Paul was the one who introduced grace to our generation, our time period? That really, grace was understood in the Old Testament, but not for our time period. And if you will, let's look at where grace originated for us, for our dispensation. If you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And hold your place here because we're going to come back here. But I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, let's go to verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Now he says the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. So if you will, hold your place in 2 Corinthians and go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, let's go to verse 10. Verse 10. Of which, or of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into, or the angels desired to see this generation come into being. Now notice what he says, that the prophets and the fathers of the Old Testament, another place said fathers, they diligently desired to see into the time period when the Spirit of grace, the dispensation of grace, would come into being. And that was a phenomenal thing to him. Now it says that was in them did not mean that they had the Spirit of Christ in them and they were born again. What it was talking about is a revelation of the dispensation of grace. They had that revelation, that understanding of it, for it was in them. David, in the Psalms, wrote more about the death of Jesus than any other person in explicit detail. Some of the major prophets and the minor prophets talked about the coming Savior. And so they looked into this grace, this generation or dispensation of grace, which tells me something. That there was something ahead that they desired to be a part of that did not see it. And they wanted to see it. They had a desire to see it. And many people do not understand the great, tremendous privilege we as a church in this time period, the blessing that we have because we're under the banner of grace. We're under the banner of grace. What a privilege it is. You know, it grieves me when I hear about so many believers not attending even a local church. So they stay at home. And they heap to themselves teachers that they desire to hear rather than be with the body of Christ. It grieves my heart because it tells me right away that something was not growing in them in the area of grace that they needed for the church. You know, anybody can run us off from anything. Anybody can run us off from anything. But I'm going to tell you, if something has value to us, don't let anybody run you off. Stick with it. Be a good fighter. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's very, very important that you understand that. The more grace you receive, the more grace you'll give. You see, if you do not have grace ordain your life, you won't find much grace from you for someone else's life. See, the more you'll receive, the more you'll give. The more people will have favor with you. The more people will feel free around you. The more people will feel without cost in your presence. So they don't have to pay a wage for your fellowship in your presence. Because they can sense grace is big in you. Grace, really, from God, is unmerited favor. But because you receive unmerited favor, then grace has value to you through great qualities of moral kindness in displaying a favorable disposition. That's how you say it, disposition, with everybody. You see a lot of believers fighting with each other because they don't have favorable dispositions with each other. They don't learn the integrity that comes with the Spirit. I like what one man said, grace encompasses all the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness. Against such there is no law. And when he was saying against such there is no law, it means that a man who has the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit operating in his life, is because something in him bore the fruit. And that's what we call the Spirit of God working in his heart. Because fruit bears itself on the branch. But the cause of the fruit bearing itself on the branch is because something on the inside of the man began its process. See. And people, the kingdom of God, what these men gave their life and walked hours upon hours, praying in tongues, receiving revelation, searching scriptures. They did it as true soldiers of the cross. As true soldiers of the cross to give it to us so we can walk in that same integrity and that same enlightenment. Hallelujah. Being a pastor over the years really grieves my heart. When people come back to visit us for the purpose of wanting money and sit in a whole service and hear the life of the Word of God and then try to con you out of money, and they once sat in your pew and once was committed to God but abandoned it for another lifestyle. I don't have much grace and patience with that type of people because they willingly choose to walk out of God and to live a lifestyle that is not conducive to grace for anybody or is not conducive to love other people. They want to take advantage of our grace and our love for them so they can have what they need. And that is wrong. That is wrong. Now, today we're living in a very dangerous time. Even in the church, it's a dangerous time, and it shouldn't be labeled that way. But we're living in a time period that we need the grace of God to grip our heart more than ever and let it train us and teach us so that we can give out in grace as never before. Now, even the abundance of revelation that God has given us over the last, I'd say the last 5 or 6 years, John and I has received wonderful amounts of understanding of the Word of God. And I know that's grace teaching us. You know, because in Titus it talks about that, in Titus chapter 2. And I know that God didn't give us the insight or the revelation of grace to ever abuse anybody with the light that we receive, but grace people with it. Matter of fact, Wednesday night when we were talking about the mind and how it functions and operates, and I gave a testimony about ministers not receiving what I had to share. I got up in my office and God rebuked me. And I was shocked that he did. He says, "I have somewhat against you." He says, you quit talking about my ministers and what they receive and what they don't receive. He said, "That's none of your business. You're to preach the gospel, the word of God. And you don't bring those whom I've anointed down." He says, "You just preach the truth, and it'll be up to them whether they receive it or not." And how do you know that they don't receive it? Give me time to work in their hearts to see what you're seeing. But never take your light, never take your light, and use it to frame somebody else wrongly with it. Take your light and give it to them so that their path will be brighter and brighter. See, and I said, "I received that correction. Lord, forgive me. I won't do it again." Because if God's grace works in my heart, big, it's because His grace towards me was big. But if I see a stingy God that doesn't have much grace towards me, I'm not going to have much grace towards people. Because again, I just want to say it very plainly, the more grace you receive, the more grace you'll give. The more grace you receive, the more grace you'll give. In Luke chapter 6, it even talks about that. Very plainly, you have to be gracious to people. You have to give people time to grow. You have to give yourself time to pray for them. Do you know that when people take their light and judge other people's with it? Did you know that these type of people will never take those people to prayer? And if they take it to prayer, it's because they want to judge them before God. God don't listen to those kind of prayers. But if you take them before God in grace, then you'll pray the right prayer for people. Even our government, I hate to say it, and our president, a lot of us don't agree with a lot of things that are being said and done, and we become victims of gossip. Are you following me? And we can't even pray for our own government structure. All we can do is complain about it. I'm going to tell you what our government has done. They have permitted the gospel to freely flow in this country. Just that respect alone is enough to keep our mouth shut if we don't even agree with what they say or do or make decisions to do or say. Are you following me? We're not products of what we consider not morally right. We're not products of that. We're products of righteousness through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that grace has to emanate from us in our prayers, in our walk with people, and even our walk with our government. And I was watching last night the movie Sergeant York. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen that movie, but it's an old Gary Cooper. And he had a conviction in his heart that not to kill. And they found a good in him. He was very accurate with a rifle. He could shoot. I have the privilege of owning one of his rifles. It was given to me by Sergeant York. Of course, it's kind of a nice item to have. It shoots very well. But he sought God upon the mountain. And the wind blew the pages of his Bible to that place where it says, render under Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and render unto God things that belong to God. And he knew then that he not only had a life that he had to live before God, but he had a life also to live before men. And so he gave himself to that side in pleasing the Lord. And look at how he was blessed. My gosh. He hadn't been out there in the war very long. He ended up with 132 German prisoners. They asked him how many men was with him, and he said six. And he says, yeah, that's, you know, but how many did you have when you started? He says, I only started with six. It was incredible. But under pressure, he was supposed to be what he was supposed to be. And he knew God would honor him in that. It's integrity of a person's heart. So very important. And so, in Romans chapter 4, if you will, let's go there. Real quickly, still hold your place in 2 Corinthians. We're going to go back there. In Romans chapter 4. Let's go to verse 16. Romans 4:16. Therefore it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And so we see that grace even was in the Old Testament, because Abraham is the father of the church. He was given as a father to all nations. And so we see that he even understood the presence of grace. So grace does not imply the ability to just walk free of everything, but grace applies to the tolerance of situations that we run into our life and how we respond to them. Amen? Most of us can't tolerate too much. Well, the reason you can't tolerate too much is because there's not much grace that has been working in your heart to tolerate it with. Now, in chapter 5, notice verse 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And standing in grace gives us a hope. A hope. Standing in grace gives us a hope. A position of hope. When a person doesn't have any hope, he does not feel very gracious. Or does he feel grace? Or does he feel grace? But God doesn't change. He is grace. Always has been, always will be. But you know what? Your life is not always in that same place where God's grace is always over you. Because your life changes from day to day. Some days are good days. Some days are bad days. One brother said, oh, all my days are good. I don't believe for bad days. I got to say, man, that brother has not read his Bible yet. Well, he read his Bible, but only the good side of it, not the downside of it. Well, we do have bad days as well as good days. It ain't because we're believing for bad days. How many of you are believing for bad days? There ain't anybody in here would believe for a bad day. But they come. And this is the grace that Paul talked about. Go back to 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is a grace that Paul was not familiar with. And yet we read a scripture why Paul is the one who was describing grace and giving it to the church and the understanding of it. And so he comes down and he says, I sought the Lord three times for this to happen. And finally he says to Paul, he says, listen, Paul. He says, I want you to understand a new aspect of grace. He said, this is what we call the grace of empowerment. And when Paul caught that, that was a sufficient answer to him, because he said, this grace, he says it right here, this grace, this is what it does. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he found a grace of empowerment. People, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have too much faith flowing through you in unfavorable circumstances. But one thing that you can rely upon in an unfavorable circumstance is that when you are at your weakest, you can say you're the strongest, because God told Paul very clearly. He says, when you're at your lowest point in life, when you are at your weakest in life, just remember one thing, Paul. I'm going to show you a new aspect of grace that you probably have never heard of before. And it is called a grace that you need from me when you cannot understand the love of me in unfavorable situations. Glory to God. How many of you know you don't have much faith when you're down and the bucket's on you and full? But he said to Paul, he said, Paul, I want you to understand a grace that you had never been made aware of. And boy, Paul, when he caught the revelation of that grace, we need to get a hold of that grace in our life. Because you and I make mistakes. You and I get into unfavorable situations, circumstances. Now, if you behave yourself into it, voila. But he said, there are situations, circumstances in my life that when God told me my grace is sufficient for you in them, he said, this is a way I know I could come out of all of them, because most gladly would I glory in them so that the power of God can rest upon me in those times when I'm the weakest. What a grace, people. What a grace. What a grace. Now, we understand that grace is not a culture. Grace is grasped with our hearts. The grace of God is not a passive attitude. It is not a license to sin. The grace of God does not save us because of our performance. The grace of God is not a cop-out from assuming responsibility. But the grace of God works in our heart so that we face responsibility and we succeed no matter where we walk in this life. Now, how many of you are going to have to rely on grace when you get to heaven? Not much said about going to heaven and then having grace. Grace put you there. You there. But grace covers us while we're here and working here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'll tell you what, these soldiers of the cross, when they walked that old dusty road and praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, drawing them mysteries out, they're not going to die in vain for me. Just like the natural soldier died for me, he's not going to die for me in vain. I'm going to thank the Lord for his life. Gave it for my freedom. And I'm going to take full advantage of my freedom for the gospel's sake. If he paid his life for it, I'm going to take advantage of it so that he would not have died in vain. Well, it's the same with the gospel. I'm going to take full advantage of the truth of the gospel because somebody gave their life for it. Amen. Well, did you guys get something here this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Father, we all need that empowering grace. Father, we know that the only way that we can really partake of that empowering grace is to understand, Father, that grace teaches us, grace trains us. To understand you, Father, we have to understand it through the mind of grace. We thank you for the privilege of it, Father. And forgive us, Father, for not being gracious with other people. Forgive us, Father, for not having grace come from our lips, but judgment. Forgive us, Father, for lying and not speaking the truth. And Father, we just know that if we repent, we know. If we change our mind towards something, true repentance, Father, we know that we will not perform it again. Father, may your grace grow in every person in this building. Father, let your grace grow in this facility and the heart of every person that is hearing my voice today. Father, let grace grow in them for people. Father, let grace grow in them for people. Teach them how to give of themselves and not be stingy and let themselves run off because they didn't have grace for people, but cause them to grow through people. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, did you receive something here this morning? Hallelujah. So everybody stand up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, as we now close this service, Father, we know of your grace and goodness for everyone here. Father, we'd love to pray for anybody that doesn't know you, would like to come into the kingdom of God. Enjoy the benefits that the kingdom has. And everything that we enjoy in you, may they also experience it. So if you're here and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, boy, feel free to come forward. Feel free to come forward and receive him. If you're here and you've been backslid, been a little out of fellowship with him, and you want to restore that walk with him, we'd love to pray with you. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, that baptism of the Spirit, we would love to pray with you. If you need healing, we would love to pray for you. So with that being said, right now, if I touched on any area that you need, feel free to step out and come forward right now. Anybody? Hallelujah. Anybody? Salvation, the infilling of the Spirit, healing, restoration, whatever it is, feel free to come forward. Hallelujah. Right here. Hallelujah. 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 Anyone going to stand in proxy for anybody? You can feel free to do that also. Hallelujah. You can't stand in proxy for somebody. For salvation, they have to be present. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is everyone forward here because of healing? Because I know you're pretty much. Are you all here because of healing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I think I'm going to do a message on receiving healing. A lot of people don't understand how to receive healing. I think I'm going to have to do a message on that. Would you guys like me to teach on that? How to receive a healing and keep it? Praise God. Okay, we'll do that. But right now, I'm going to pray with you. You guys ready to receive? You ready to receive? Now, when you receive it, you walk away knowing you have it. Amen. You know, your body's going to say one thing. Your body's going to say one thing. But that doesn't have anything to do with what you received. Amen. Your body don't tell you whether you're going to be healed or not. The Lord has already spoken on his basis for what healing is all about. Amen. But, you know, by the time we go and sit down, we feel around. Well, I guess I'm not got it. You know, you came forward. That's what determines whether you got it or not. When you come forward, you got it. If you don't feel that you can get it now, you might as well go sit down. But if you came up, that means I came up to get it. And it's the same Jesus that walks the earth today that back in the four Gospels, same Jesus. If you was to go to him personally and say, I need a healing, he'd say, okay. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Same one. The trouble is our body wants to live through the senses of it. But thank God I don't find anybody in any place in Scripture where it says Satan, senses have anything to do with what we've been redeemed from. Matter of fact, I find one place that said strong meat belonging to those who have trained their senses. Father, right now. Now, ushers, stay real close here. Hallelujah. Okay, saints, start praying real quick. Like we'll be dismissing in just a minute. Father, when I go by and I lay hands on these people, Jesus, we are just transferring the anointing from me to them because you've already purchased what they need in the area of healing. And we're boldly declaring that before you, Father, that when they've come forward for their healing, it belongs to them. It's theirs. Their body cannot talk them out of it. The devil's not going to have anything to say about it. God has everything to already have displayed about it. And that's called redeemed from sickness and disease. And Father, we want these bodies to be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Ooh, there's the anointing right there. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus. 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 Ooh, glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Ora bashende kerete. Halakoshan marite. Halakoshandarati. Some of you that have come up here for healing, the Lord already told me that your authority was already sufficient for it. It began it and doubt stopped it. And listen, I'm going to tell you, doubt is a... I hate doubt because that's why I talk about the mind so much. Doubt has an instant crippling effect on your faith. You've got to learn how to master not being controlled by doubt. You know, doubt always travels on the senses. Boy, I wish we could get a revelation. Our body doesn't, it knows about God, but it doesn't know God. It can't know God. All it does is keeps us contact with this realm. The only time you're not going to have any problem with your senses is when you go to be with the Lord. Now, those of you that you know you've received, put your hand up. Both of them. You don't know if you've received? So you were standing in proxy? Praise God, Father. We witnessed the proxy. Get that hand up. You got both hands up. You see, sneaky devil, get that hands up. I was in proxy for my cousin, 4-stage uterus cancer. Did you believe that you still? Okay. Get them unbelieving arms down there. Up. Foot too. All right. Okay. With that said, you can go. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people that come out. Father, we enjoy your word. We enjoy your presence. And I thank you, Father, that, hallelujah, we've even allowed rifles in our congregation. So, Father, may your people have a wonderful day in Jesus' name. You can go. Hallelujah.